The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
The Brexit trade agreement reached on Christmas Eve has failed Irish fishermen and is a bad fisheries deal. That is what the Oireachtas Joint Committee on Agriculture and the Marine will be told this morning by the CEO of Killybegs Fishermen's Organisation, Sean O'Donoghue, who joins me now. And I'll also be talking to another guest, Father John Joe Duffy, a Burtonport native with fishing very much in his blood, who wants a dedicated junior fisheries minister to be created. You're both very welcome to the programme. Sean, first of all, for those of us, although I live very close to the sea, I'm not a fisherman, tell me what the reality is for fishermen since January the 1st.
The reality is that everybody now knows that the fisheries agreement is a very bad agreement, and that Ireland is being hit disproportionately to the other EU member states. And there is turmoil really right around the coast in relation to this. And from day one on Christmas Eve, we have been calling for, and finally we're getting some movement on it, is that there has to be burden sharing at the European Union level at this stage. And the other member states that haven't taken the same hit have to give us back some of the fish that we lost here, because it is absolutely incredible that we have been hit for 42 million out of a total of transfer from all EU member states of 182 million. And given that there are nine member states involved, if you were just to do the simple maths, we should have only taken a hit of about 20 million.
And of course, they might point out too that we are a small country with a relatively small fishing fleet. So to take a hit of that size, given the size of our industry, is utterly disproportionate. What movement can you expect on this? What do we know is happening in Brussels? You can imagine the French saying, what we have, we hold. We're not giving anything back.
Well, I think we immediately called... It was on the 28th of the 26th of December on Stephen's Day. We called for a meeting with the Taoiseach, the Minister for Foreign Affairs, and our own Minister for Agriculture, Food and Marine. And to be fair, we met them on the 28th of December, and we made it crystal clear to them that we were not interested here in financial compensation. We wanted to get the fish back so that we could have viable fishing communities both in Killybegs and Castletown Bay and in the east coast of Ireland as such. Yeah. And
Do you think they understood what they had done in agreeing to this thing, the EU? Do you think Irish ministers and the Taoiseach understood exactly what had been sacrificed?
I think certainly after that meeting, they were left in no illusion. And I went away from that meeting that they were very clear that this was a very bad deal. I think they accepted it was a bad deal for fisheries, whereas for all other sectors, it was okay. And we really put it in very stark terms. There's two main economic drivers of the Irish fishing industry, which is our mackerel fishery as such, and our Dublin Bay prawn, our Nephrops fisheries. And unfortunately, we got hit out of that 42 million that I already said. We got hit for 26 million on one species alone, and we got hit for 7 million on our prawns. So if you take those two out of our industry as such, you will devastate the viability of coastal communities around the coast. So it is not acceptable. And there is a way of actually doing this, which we made it clear, and I'll be making it clear again today at the Oireachtas committee as such, is that there is a process here that was done in the past where burden sharing was agreed at a European Union level.
And by the way, Sean, like the question is, Christmas Eve, just days before the whole thing was ratified and went into effect on January the 1st. Very late in the day, there was no possibility of any changes to that deal at that point. I mean, it might have, the whole thing might have fallen apart, but it didn't. But there was never any prospect that the EU would change tack at that late stage.
I think the real issue there for us is that we had an EU mandate which never changed, which made it clear that fisheries would be linked to the wider trade, and we got absolute guarantees that fisheries would not be left to the last item to be agreed, and those were all shredded in the end, and we were left to be the last, and it was inevitable, like you have said, that fisheries was not going to hold up the massive deal. So there was things done here in the last week, and particularly in the last hours of this, that have made this deal even worse than we had anticipated.
Now, did you get ambushed by the situation where trawlers can actually dock and where they can unload their fish? Because it seems there's a very unusual situation where boats registered in the Republic can dock at seven ports in Northern Ireland, and Northern Ireland registered boats, irrespective of who owns them, whether it's someone from the Republic or someone from Northern Ireland, can only land fish in two ports in the Republic. How did all that come about?
I think there's two reasons for that. Number one, it is a consequence of Brexit. The UK is now an independent coastal state, so the rules that we have to abide by in the European Union are different to the rules that the UK have to abide by.
But so they can do their own thing, and if they want to land fish, so be it. They can say, yes, come on in.
Yeah, they have certain rules under international agreements as such, but they have easier ways of designating ports. But I understand, and I'm sure the Father John Joe will tell you, that the minister has agreed to designate further ports in Donegal and around the coast. So I think there's another five on top of the two that you've mentioned there as such. And that will alleviate some of the pressure. But it was extremely difficult for vessels that, you know, that are based in Donegal particularly, and suddenly found they couldn't land in their home port. As such, and that was unfortunately, it was a consequence of Brexit, and the overall fisheries deal, in all sense and purposes, is a bad deal.
So, looking at just bottom line here, what this means is that the money that you have forfeited, that the EU generally has forfeited, almost 200 million euro of fish, goes back to British fishermen. To flog into Europe, as it happens, most of it, and the same with all you have lost actually is gained by the British industry. Is the British industry in a position to actually fish the fish?
Certainly for some of it it is, but it is getting a windfall here, and when I do hear people crying in the UK that they got that they didn't do as well as they did, well, I'd like to have to be in the position here this morning to saying that I had 25% extra fish to fish in the next number of years. And I think the galling thing about this is that the transfer is meant to be over 5 years. But unfortunately, the biggest hit in term is 2021. You have to take 60% of the hit in year one. And that was a last-minute thing that was done, which everybody thought that at least 2021 would be a bedding in year, but that's not the case.
Yeah. One of my texters on News Talk here says, fish sacrificed for beef and corporate tax. It's that simple. Do you expect to get any change out of the Oireachtas Committee this morning?
Well, I do. I expect to get significant support from the Oireachtas Committee this morning. And I think what I want to make crystal clear is that we as an organisation, and indeed all my colleagues around the coast, We are not interested here in financial compensation, because going down that route means you are decimating coastal fishing communities as such.
And that's not the route. You want to keep people on the water, fishing and earning a livelihood in a meaningful way. Father John Joe Duffy, a Burtonport native, you want more political attention to all of this. We need a fisheries minister. Is that so?
Good morning, Pat. I believe we need a delegated fisheries minister. First of all, I believe that I add a proviso to that, that any minister appointed by the Taoiseach must be mandated on day number one to go into the department and to reform the Department of the Marine, root and branch from top to bottom, and the need to realign department policies to actively assist and encourage the fishing sector. An emphasis must be put on expanding the Irish fleet in all its sectors, from the very smallest boat to the very largest boat, because I believe what has happened in these negotiations is that it is very obvious that the department officials and the government were asleep. They were outmaneuvered, and as far as I can see, they were merely observers, or as I said, subservient very often to their European masters when they go out.
We heard to Simon Coveney.
And the department was...
Yeah, but we heard Simon Coveney again and again talking about, you know, where the mackerel are spawned and where they're caught, and they're not UK mackerel, they're not Irish mackerel. You know, they roam at will, and we know where they are mature and where they can be caught and so on, but they don't really belong to anyone. I heard him say that many times on radio over the period running up to the negotiations. But clearly there were, if you'll pardon the pun, bigger fish to fry in Brussels.
I believe we hung on to the French coattails. We observed, and the fish were not just sacrificed, but just were taken from us. And there was no official objections lodged to that. The type of boats that I'm speaking up for make up about 80% of the Irish fleet. They are small boats that are less than 18 metres in length, and they have been very hardly hit by cuts. And I'm afraid that they will bear the brunt of cuts again from this latest disaster, tremendous disaster, which sees probably... First, the ministers came out, Minister Coveney and Minister McConnellan, said they lost 34 million. Now it's up to a loss of 43 million, and it may be as high as a 70 million loss. These things needed to be said. They needed to have a plan before they went to Brussels, and I don't know what the plan was, because I can see no plan in it. And also, you talked about the boats with Northern Ireland licences. These are Irish-owned boats by Irish residents who are paying Irish tax, and they were only able to land at two ports. And
okay, Father John Joe, and there may be more as we're going to hear. But one of my News Talk texters called Anthony says, he asks a question: why are Donegal boats registered in Northern Ireland? You know, what's the reason for that?
It's not only Donegal boats. There's about 160 boats around the coast that are registered in Northern Ireland. These boats were bought in Scotland and were bought in England. And they were... The licenses weren't available in the Republic for them. And,
okay, but
they
do they not enjoy... Do they not enjoy then the bonanza that the UK has won in fishing terms because they're registered in Northern Ireland? Can they not fish, you know, what the Republic registered boats cannot fish? They can fish.
Can I explain to you that these boats are very small boats, so they don't put far out from the Irish coastline, and this is where the problem lies. They don't put very far from the Irish coastline. They don't fish very far from their home ports, and they come back to their home ports. And now what's been asked of them is they're being asked to travel for 8 to 16 hours along a very dangerous coastline, a treacherous coastline. And this was flagged to the Irish government on the 17th of August in a notice from the European Commission, and it's obvious that the department officials sat on their hands and made no accommodation for these men. These men are being now treated as second-class citizens, despite the fact that they are Irish men with Irish they are Irish taxpayers, but they are now not allowed to land in their own ports, their own native ports, which is it's putting them in a perilous situation to have to travel along a coastline in small boats. And should they break down, they will be washed up on the shore. And as one small fisherman said to me, it is all right to take away so much of our fishing. That was bad enough to cut us back. But now they are playing with our lives. And that is totally unacceptable. And okay. It needs to be sorted out. And Sean said there were some extra ports. But the extra ports are that you can only land from 2 to 8 p.m. Monday to Friday. Office hours, okay. Which does not suit small
of
boats.
Of course not. No. I mean,
it's senseless.
And also there'll be tidal issues and, if you've got a full catch and you want to get that catch off so that you can get back to sea or whatever, I can understand it's not a 9-to-5 business. But Sean mentioned earlier about the UK fishermen, some of them still complaining about the fact that they don't think they got a good deal. I want you to listen now to a clip of a UK fisherman who regrets his decision to vote leave the EU.
Yeah, if I could turn the clock back, would I have voted leave? Of course not. I don't want to stay in. It's for the future of my family, not so much me. I'm coming to the end of my career. But to go forward, I think me and many others have perhaps made a mistake. I just thought there'd be a better future for myself and for my children and my children's children to become independent, to have our own fishing grounds, to be able to be independent, to be able, for Europe to rely on us. The reality is we're now January 20. We've yet to send a consignment to Europe from Brixham. It's just been an absolute nightmare.
So they didn't think it through. Where are our markets? Well, our markets are in the EU, not at home here. And now we're in a situation where we're finding it hard to export to the very markets that kept us fed. So there you are. So finally, to both of you, have you any optimism at all that anything can be reversed? There is, in the whole deal, going to be a review, a 5-year review for fisheries, by which time people might be broke or out of a livelihood. So have you any optimism that things can change? First of all, Sean?
The answer to that is yes, but I think we are going to move might and main with our politicians and with everybody that counts here across Europe in terms of there has to be burden sharing here, and it has to happen come hell or high water, and it has to happen immediately. Now, we can't be waiting around for reviews of common fisheries policies, yeah, which will happen in 3 or 4 years' time. We need this to happen immediately, and we expect the government at every level to go after this really vigorously, and I will be really making that point full square today at the Oireachtas Committee. And I would expect that I would have significant support. I'd be very disappointed if I didn't have that support from the Oireachtas Committee today.
All right. And Father John Joe Duffy, are you optimistic that you can move mountains?
I hope to move mountains, and I'm calling on the Minister for Marine to issue these men who have Northern Ireland licences but are Irish citizens with a non-transferable licence, a transitionary licence, to allow them to once again become Irish citizens and land in their ports. And I agree with everything Sean said. It's time we changed our ways as a country, as civil servants going to Europe, bang the European table, and then the subservient nature of our department when in Brussels. It was a good deal for the French, a good deal for the Dutch, a good deal for the British, especially the Scottish, but a very, very bad and rotten deal for Irish fishermen. It was almost like when the two ministers came out lauding that they had done well by losing only 34 million at that stage, what we now know is 43 and maybe higher. It was like Neville Chamberlain coming home and waving a piece of paper to the British people back in the 1930s when they thought they had got a good deal, but they got no deal at all. And this has been a very bad deal, and it's no deal for the Irish fishermen.
Father John Joe Duffy, Burtonport native, fishing very much in his blood, and Sean O'Donoghue, CEO of Killybegs Fishermen's Organisation. Thank you both very much for joining us on the programme.